Oh, yes. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock now, hot fun in the summertime. Flying the Family Stone on a Friday morning. I remember seeing those guys back in 1971 at Kent State University in Ohio. Man, those are the good old days. Hey, if you are the type of person that enjoys going to concerts, stick around during the next hour. We're going to talk about concerts. Okay, lighten the load a little bit. Talk about politics all week. But stick around next hour. I'm going to ask you about your concert-going proclivities. If you've been to any good concerts recently, or if you're looking forward to a particular concert this summer, a lot of great shows coming to the area all across Wisconsin. And for those of our neighbors on the western side of the state, I know there's a lot of stuff coming to Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul area. Of course, Chicago's always got stuff going on. And so stick around. Next hour, I'm going to see if I can get some calls on concerts. What concerts you've been to recently? What concerts you're looking forward to? Okay, so stick around for that. That'll be the next hour. Right now, we're talking about escalation of two different sides at protests. And it's so crazy when you step back from it and you think about it. These are people showing up at things like drag queen story time, right? You've got a drag queen reading a book, a children's book to a bunch of kids. And what happens? First, a right-wing militia shows up, armed to the teeth, guns in hand. And now we've got left-wing militias showing up as well. Is that a good thing? I don't know. That doesn't sound like the best way to go, you know? I mean, what do you do, though? I mean, should you say that, oh, these left-wing guys shouldn't be showing up, right? That would be my first, the first thing I would say, but then they have a right to, right? They have a right to show up. If these right-wing guys are going to show up, what about the people at the event? Do they deserve protection? But then what happens just before the break? We were talking about what happens when somebody from the left side gets out of hand, you know? I don't know. It's an interesting time we're living in. Is it really a cold war, a cold civil war going on in the United States? Let's go to the phone. It looks like Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast is on the line. Good morning, Bob. What do you have for us today?
Hi, Stu. Good morning. You asked a question about how to help the cities in Wisconsin with their budgets. I just want to point out that the sales tax in Wisconsin came on in the mid-60s. It's been a 3% sales tax. And then it's grown, that and user fees and other things like that has grown over the years. And what that does is it moves things from being from a tax paid by people who've got money to a tax based on using rather than whether somebody has money or not.
Right.
So that protects the wealthy, but costs the rest of us more money, especially in a percentage. The way Chicago has dealt with it, with some of the things, is to have employers paying a head tax on their number of employees. So that helps that a little bit as well. It would also have helped if if our police department and fire department were required to live in the city where they make their nice incomes, rather than being an occupying force that holds up that holds us down.
Right. I agree with that. That's just one of the reasons why they should be required to live within the community that they work in. I agree with that 100%. There's several other reasons why they should have to live in that community as well. But yeah, I think that's a really important point that you bring up, Bob. For some of our listeners who may not have really thought about it, the sales tax is a very regressive tax. The lower down on the lower down on the socioeconomic rung that you are, the more you have to pay as far as a percentage of your overall wealth or your overall income. Obviously, if somebody who's making $500,000 a year, if they have to pay a little more in sales tax, it's not going to affect their life in one bit. But somebody who's making $20,000 or $30,000 a year, if the sales tax climbs, you know, from 5% to 7% or whatever, that's going to make a difference in their life. Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And right now it's what, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. I want to get back to this story that we were discussing. And by the way, the reason Bob called up with that information is because in the first hour we were discussing Milwaukee and Milwaukee County and the issues that they're facing and the fact that they may be able to raise their sales tax, but the state, the Assembly and the Senate right now are arguing or discussing at least how that would take effect. So there is a chance that Milwaukee's sales tax could go up at some point, as well as Milwaukee County's sales tax on top of the state sales tax. So thank you, Bob, for the call. And let's continue now with the story we were discussing before the break. This is about left and right wing militias showing up at different events, oftentimes events where there are drag queens or some type of LGBTQ event going on. And from this story in Rolling Stone that was posted yesterday, we were talking about a drag event going on in Fort Worth, Texas. The story continues and says, the day after the drag defense at Tulips, the place where the event took place, I drive to a gun range about an hour south of Dallas to meet with a group that had contacted me on the encrypted messaging app Signal at Elm Fork's recommendation. Elm Fork is a gun organization, a gun group, a left-wing gun group. My GPS leads me through miles of green rolling hills past scattered ranches and into a shallow valley where my cell service cuts out. The range is a sprawling expanse of pistol and rifle bays cut into the hillside with huge dirt berms on either side to catch stray fire. I meet El Gato and Azad, who introduce themselves as the co-founders of Black Cat Rifle Group, a volunteer organization based in Dallas that provides free firearm instruction to anyone who wants it, particularly focusing on marginalized groups. Gato and Azad met through the Socialist Rifle Association, but branched out on their own last year to focus on instruction around the time Texas's John Brown Gun Club started to organize. Today, they're teaching two young guys, novice shooters, looking to dip their toes in. We pile into Gato's hatchback, which is stuffed with paper targets, crates of ammunition, and gun cases, and drive out to a rifle bay where Gato pulls on army fatigues and a plate carrier. Azad, a tall, bearded South Asian man, dons a chest rig stuffed with AR magazines. Quote, I wasn't really into guns until Trump got elected, Azad says on the ride over, but we all know there's Nazis on the streets now. That's why we're here. Spent shell casings crunch under our feet as we walk over to set up targets. Quote, my community, the South Asian community, has been dealing with this stuff for 30 years, Azad says. Every year, some dude throws a Molotov into a temple or spray paints swastikas on our house. Gato chimes in. I don't want to own guns and do this, he says, but I also don't want someone coming after my wife because she's a person of color. But in Texas, Azad and Gato say guns are a necessity. The right wing has them. The law allows them, and being armed is the only way to stay safe. Quote, this is the wild effing West, man, Azad says. We kind of do what we got to do. As Black Cat sets up, unloading well over a dozen ARs, AKs, pistols, and antique rifles from several cars, Gatto goes over the basic rules of firearm safety with the students. Treat every firearm as if it's loaded. Never point a weapon at anything you don't intend to shoot. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire. And always be aware of your target and what's beyond it. After some basic lessons in handling a weapon, Gatto passes out ears and eyes, noise-canceling headsets that amplify voices but not gunshots, and safety glasses. He and Azad then run the two students and me through basic shooting drills on torso-shaped cardboard targets, working our way up from handguns to modern assault rifles. The range is reserved for the whole day, so other Black Cat members pop in and out throughout the training. As the afternoon stretches on, it's just Azad, Gatto, myself, and a third Black Cat member who asks to go by the name of Tony. Black Cat puts me through a drill that combines running and shooting with an assault rifle designed to simulate the experience of shooting in a combat situation when you're out of breath with a racing heart. I've shot before, but never to this degree, and the drills impress upon me both the level of effort involved in safely handling a weapon and the relative ease of pulling the trigger. Shooting is a skill, but the basics are not complicated, which is why Black Cat aims to pass that knowledge on to those who feel they need to defend themselves with a gun. Gonna take a break right here. This is a short one, so stick around. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Getting somewhere. Billy Preston on a Friday morning. Yeah, yes. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He'll be back on Monday. Thank you for tuning in to your local Civic Media radio station. If you want to join the conversation, feel free. The number is 844-967-2789. And we've been discussing a couple of different topics today. In the previous hour, we were discussing shared revenue in the state of Wisconsin, money going back to cities like Milwaukee and Madison that they send to Madison in taxes, and also discussing sales tax. Should Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee be allowed to increase their sales taxes, and should the state have say-so on whether they are allowed to do that? And should it be the voters or the local governing bodies that decide if the taxes are raised? So we were discussing that last hour, and we've gotten a few calls on that. And then this hour, we've been discussing militias, not just right-wing militias, but now they're springing up on the left side. It sounds like they've been around for a while, but now it seems like they are showing up at a lot of the same protests that the right-wing militias are showing up at. And you just hope that nothing bad happens. We've been discussing a story in Rolling Stone where the reporter got to know some of these folks on the left side. We'll get back to that in a second. I want to go to the phones right now, see who we have on the line. It looks like we have Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. How are you today? What do you have to say?
Good morning, Stu. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We just need to get the money out of politics so we can restore government back to we the people. Because, when you have a Republican Party that is the pro-death party, and anything from having no type of gun safety laws to capital punishment to wars, to all of that, which anybody that wants to call up and refute what I say about the Republican Party, I'd love to hear it. They may say, no, they're the pro-life party because of a termination of a pregnancy. But the true idea of that issue is it's either pro a woman's right to choose or it's pro big government's right to choose. And I definitely know that 90% of the women out there actually choose to have a child and carry it to term. But it should be her choice, not a bunch of men in government. Being that they are the pro-death party, the only thing I can say is I have a lot of conflict with this issue because I'm someone that is not in favor of any type of gun. But also I believe that the AR-15s are definitely a no-go from the beginning in terms of weapons of war that should not be on the streets anywhere. They should all be banned. It's like a machine gun. But I will say that if you remember years ago when the Black Panthers came out with their guns and their ARs and were out in the street and stuff, it was amazing how fast the laws changed because, oh my God, Black people having guns and people seeing that. So maybe the idea of the LGBTQ community, being armed, I would hope that everyone would be safe. But if it sends a message to the Congress people who are bought off by the gun industry that, something needs to get done, maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. I have a conflict with this. I definitely would not be probably attending the business because of the fact that I don't believe in guns and probably safer at home. But I definitely think that if it sends that message that, hey, I guess if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, that maybe that will actually push the people that work for us to actually pass some gun safety legislation, to do something about this. So that's kind of where I'm at on it, Stu. But the Republicans are the pro-death party, and they are the party of death, as CJ and I believe the guy Ken from West Dallas definitely say that they are, because they are the death party.
It's funny you mentioned that, Tom. Thank you for calling, by the way. We always appreciate hearing from you. But let's go to CJ right now. I think we have him on the line, and he probably wants to respond to what you had to say. Good morning, CJ. Thank you for calling. And what's your response?
Well, thank you for taking my call all week, Stu. A lot of the hosts don't because, I don't know, they can't really debate the issue. They end up calling me names. But I do appreciate you taking my call. We are in a culture war, and who's driving that? I guess I know who's driving that. And, this president campaigned on uniting us. Far from it, aren't we? A question for you, sir. Are you married?
Are you going to propose to me if I'm not?
No, I'm just curious. Are you married to a woman? Can you define a woman? Do you think...
Now, why are you asking me that?
Transgender men should be competing against an XX chromosome woman. An XY transgender is still biologically male. So all these culture wars are due to your party driving them. You're driving them.
Okay.
So...
All right. Well, thank you for mentioning that, CJ. Always appreciate hearing from you, that's for sure. I wish we had more time to hear what else you had to say, but we do got to take a break. Stay tuned, everybody. It's the bottom of the hour break. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. Yes, I will survive, and I will get by. 9:34 right now on this Friday morning. Grateful Dead always sounds good on a Friday morning. As I mentioned at the start of the show, that band, or what's left of it, is starting their final tour in their current incarnation tonight in Los Angeles. Dead & Company, featuring members of the original Grateful Dead, plus John Mayer and a few other musicians they picked up along the way. Welcome back to the show. It's the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today, and he will be back on Monday. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for our callers that we've had so far today before the break. By the way, if you want to call in, feel free. You can discuss anything that we've talked about so far today, 844-967-2789. And let me mention again that next hour, the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to lighten things up a little bit, and I'm going to ask callers or listeners to call in, and let's discuss something a little bit lighter than all of the politics and guns and everything else. Let's discuss concerts and music. It's summertime or close to it. A lot of good shows coming up this summer all over Wisconsin and elsewhere. If you're looking forward to going to a certain concert this summer, I'd like to hear from you. That's next hour. And or if you've been to a good concert recently, I'd like to hear from you. I'm going to be talking some music during the next hour. If we get calls on that subject, who knows who's listening and who knows who's willing to call in and talk about music. But just one more paragraph from this article that we were discussing before the break about left-wing. Actually, before I get back to that, let's go back to the phones. I see that Tom from West Allis wants to chime in, and I want to see what he has to say before I get back into this Rolling Stone article. Tom, how are you today? Thank you for calling.
I am fine, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I have 2 points. Mm-hmm. The first one is, you know, when it comes to the culture war, CJ, you guys are the one who are fueling it. Look at what Trader Green had to do there. I mean, one mass shooting by a guy or by a person, and all of a sudden they're all that. She concentrates nothing on that, just fueling the fire. How many actual cross-dressers are actually reading to kids? I mean, come on. I mean, it is such a non-issue, but you guys are the ones who are fueling this. This would be nothing. How many years has this been going on, and yet all of a sudden now it's the new flavor of the day. Anyway, the other thing I was going to talk about, we're talking about gun violence and all that. You know, Oklahoma City bombing, the Boston Marathon, 9/11, all of those had bombings. Airports, we all have to go through security now and all that stuff. That was all after bombs. Look how quickly they changed the laws. I mean, when Oklahoma City all of a sudden now if you buy bulk fertilizer or something, the government's going to look at you and they're going to find you and question why you are buying bulk of all these ingredients. They'll do that. But yet we have guns, we have people going to gun stores buying 250 guns at one time and no one blinks an eye. If that guy was going to blow something up, we would have been all over him. But this is perfectly okay to kill far more people than any of 9/11, Oklahoma City, Boston City, and these other bombings that happened. So, you know, let's look at this realistically. Why is CJ's party against this, but they're all for bombing? Or all against bombing, sorry.
Yeah, Tom, you bring up some excellent points. And I think a lot of our listeners would agree with what you have to say. Thank you for calling today. I just want to get back to this one paragraph from this Rolling Stone story that we were discussing before the break. And the author of this story, the journalist, is meeting gentlemen on the left side. These are left-wing militias that he got to know and has been reporting on. And in this final paragraph that I'm going to read, it says, there's a quote from one of the gentlemen. His name is Gatto. And he says, our work, meaning these gentlemen who are in this left-wing militia, our work is inherently political, but we try to keep politics out of it. If you go into communities of color and start mentioning the word socialist, it tends to shut everything down. Poor communities don't need any more flack. A lot of these people already wear a lot of targets on their back. Why give them another? End quote. So, I don't know. It seems like things are definitely escalating. You know, I've seen reports of right-wing militia showing up, right-wing guys with guns showing up at drag events and LGBTQ events. But now we have left-wing militias showing up too at the same events and shouting at each other, grabbing hold of their guns as if they're going to do something, according to that story we just looked at from Rolling Stone. And it doesn't sound like it's a smart way to go, if you ask me. And in fact, even though guns were not involved, there was a confrontation at a press conference earlier this week. I found this posted at HuffPost yesterday, and this involved a congressman who was getting a little violent. I don't know. I guess you can't say he was violent, but he was getting aggressive, that's for sure. The headline says, GOP Representative Clay Higgins manhandles activist at press conference. This is by Nick Visser. And the subheadline says, aren't you a congressperson touching me? The protester says in a video. Republican Representative Clay Higgins of Louisiana sparked criticism Wednesday after he aggressively removed a protester from a press conference in Washington, D.C. Jake Burdett, 25 years old, posted footage to Twitter on Wednesday afternoon confronting Representatives Paul Gosar, Republican from Arizona, and Lauren Boebert, Republican from Colorado, at a media event in the Capitol. In one clip, the activist yells questions toward Gosar before Higgins quickly walks up to him, introduces himself as a representative from Louisiana, and asks Burdett to, quote, peacefully stand by with your camera, and I promise you I'll come talk to you straight up and answer all your questions. Fair enough? End quote. But in a second video, Burdett again shouts questions at Boebert about her recent divorce filing before Higgins rushes up and manhandles him away. And the tweet from this gentleman, 25-year-old Jake Burdett, who I understand had a T-shirt on from Our Revolution, which is a liberal organization. And Jake Burdett in his tweet said, I am currently being detained by D.C. police for asking tough questions to far-right extremist Congressmen Gosar and Boebert at a press conference. Representative Clay Higgins proceeded to assault and physically remove me from the press conference. For this, the cops detained me, not him. And there's a video here of that happening. And in the video, the protester says, "Aren't you a congressperson touching me? Get off me. You're hurting me." Burdett said he was merely asking tough questions to Gosar, known for his close relationships to far-right extremists, including Nick Fuentes and Lauren Boebert. Higgins, however, told HuffPost that Burdett was threatening, appearing to reference a police code for a disturbance by a person with mental health issues. Quote, "He was escorted out and turned over to Capitol Police. Textbook," he said. That's the congressman talking. Burdett told the Daily Beast he wasn't injured during the incident and was eventually released by Capitol Police. He was in Washington to attend a Medicare for All rally for Senator Bernie Sanders, but noticed Gosar and Boebert setting up a press conference after that event. Quote, "I figured I'd ask them some tough questions," he told the Beast, bird dog them, whatever you want to call it. He told the news site he was evaluating his legal options, but, quote, "was absolutely prepared to press charges." Wow. Now that's pretty crazy, right? A congressman going up to a protester and manhandling him, shuffling him off. I don't know. Sounds like a strange thing. But we have just a minute or so, a couple minutes till the next break. I want to mention what's going on at the G7 today. This will just take a couple of minutes. But the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, is going to the G7. He'll be there to talk to leaders. And he actually went to, I guess he went to Saudi Arabia ahead of that. And it looks like I'm having some internet difficulties where I'm at right now, but it looks like Zelensky went to the Saudis first to ask Arab leaders for help ahead of the G7 summit, and then he's going to go to the G7 meeting that's happening in Japan, where leaders are poised to unveil new measures meant to choke off military technology to Russia. And in this story, evidently he's asking Arab leaders to not turn a blind eye to what's going on in Ukraine. And by the way, if you have any comments, any opinions on what's going on in Ukraine, I'd like to hear from you. It seems like for some reason, Republicans or those on the right, conservatives, don't support our support of Ukraine. And it seems to me like what's going on in Ukraine is the fight over democracy, you know? And I think it's better that it's going on over there instead of going on over here, and hopefully we'll never get to that point. But it does look like democracy is under fire these days all over the world. And it looks like it's a matter of right-wing versus left-wing oftentimes. For some reason, people on the right side, more conservative people, these days at least, are preferring authoritarian figures in charge of their government. Is that so they don't have to make any decisions on their own? All they have to do is follow direction, stay in line, not cause any trouble? I don't know. It seems like you have to give up a lot of freedoms in order for that to happen. And here in the United States, I don't know if that's the way we want to go. It seems like democracy has worked pretty well for us so far. And hopefully we'll continue with that. We're going to take a short break in just a couple of minutes. I want to mention again that coming up at the top of the hour, in the 10 o'clock hour, going to try something a little different, going to try to get some phone calls from people on concerts for the summer. Yeah, it's a Friday morning. What the heck? Going to take a break from the politics, possibly, if we get some calls. And I'm going to ask listeners to call in with their ideas of concerts they'd like to go see this summer, or concerts they might already have tickets for, or if you've seen a good show in the last couple months or even this year. I'd like to hear that. I've seen some good concerts this year, and I got some tickets for some good shows coming up. Feel free to give us a call if you want to talk about that during the next hour, or if you want to talk about anything we've had so far this hour or previous hour, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels, filling in for Earl today. He'll be back on Monday. Thank you for tuning in to your local Civic Media radio station. And if you want to join us on the phone, feel free. The phone number is 844-967-2789. And if you want to send me an email message, feel free. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. And it looks like Mike Gallagher may have a challenger. I believe he went unopposed last time around. And this is new from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Bill Glauber. And this was just posted about an hour ago, I guess, or at least updated an hour ago. It says Democrat Kristen Lierley weighs 2024 run against Green Bay Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher. Kristen Lierley has the political bug. She's a DePere doctor and activist who is weighing a run against Republican U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher in 2024. If she enters the race, and that's still to be decided, it would be a dramatic turnaround for Democrats who didn't even field a candidate against Gallagher last year as he coasted the reelection to his fourth term. Quote, "We can't just give Mike Gallagher a free ride because we're afraid to challenge him," Lierley told the Journal Sentinel. Gallagher, a rising Republican star, leads a House Select Committee on China and has been mentioned as a potential candidate to run next year against Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Gallagher has brushed off speculation and has said he's concentrating on his congressional role, but if Lierley runs for the Fox Valley seat, that would raise the stakes for Gallagher as well as national Republicans trying to entice a top-tier candidate to face Baldwin. There's more to this story. I'll get to it in just a second. I want to go to the phone lines. I know Paul's been holding on for a while. Good morning, Paul. What do you have for us today?
I wanted to make a call on Ukraine. I'm going to start off by saying that I don't think what Putin is doing is right, but you have to look at it from their point of view. Those people over there, a vast majority of them, especially in the East, speak Russian, Ukrainian. They identify as Russians. They speak Russian or a dialect of. That's Russia's backyard, okay? The Crimea, I don't know if you know the history behind that and why that's so valuable to Russia, but that is the home of their Black Sea Fleet, their only warm water port. They are not going to give that up. And they are not going to give it up easily and without cost. So to continue to try to make attacks on in the Crimea, Russia's not giving that up. And I don't know how far you guys, you know, whoever, I'm not in support. We shouldn't be messing around over there. Earl even says the same thing. That's Russia's backyard.
The only thing we are is buying money.
Yes.
That's Russia's backyard. So what you're saying is that those people deserve to be bombed out of their houses and just killed. You know, have you seen some of the pictures?
This all could have been avoided. Ukraine not to join NATO. We're not going to have nuclear weapons on their borders. It's the same thing that happened in 1962 and 1963, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Remember when the Soviet Union wanted to put nuclear missiles 90 miles off our shore? Okay, this is their Cuban
Missile Crisis. And we pushed back on that. We pushed back on that. And you're saying that and the people of Ukraine shouldn't be pushing back against invasion of their country?
I don't think the people of Ukraine wanted this war at all. I think this is all politicized. Zelensky's an idiot.
Wait a minute. Haven't you seen the pictures? They're fighting back with every...
Churchill. Yeah, they're fighting back with our weapons. Ukraine doesn't have that big of a military. I don't believe any news coming out of Ukraine because it's all propaganda,
all right.
Either
Paul,
one way or the other.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate you calling and sharing your opinion. I'm sure there are others who agree with you. But I don't understand how you can say that they don't want to fight. You know, I mean, obviously they are fighting back with everything they have. And for the first several months or year of the war, they didn't even have serious weaponry to fight back with. And I think that most Americans, if our land was invaded, we'd be doing the same thing, whether we were in the military or not. We'd be picking up arms if there were people marching down our streets trying to take over our country. I don't know. But that's just my opinion. Thank you for calling, Paul, and sharing your opinion. Getting back to this story now about Kristen Lierley possibly facing Mike Gallagher in the Green Bay area. In the Journal Sentinel, this story says toppling Gallagher would be tough. At the end of March, his campaign had $3.3 million cash on hand. The district has also turned red. In the 2022 governor's race, Democratic Governor Tony Evers won 42.9% of the vote in the 8th Congressional District, while Republican Tim Michaels had 55.9%. Quote, Mike Gallagher continues to deliver results for the people of Northeast Wisconsin, said his political advisor, Kevin Seifert. That's his focus, and it's why his constituents have always sent him to Congress with historic margins. Lierley, an OBGYN, has been at the center of Wisconsin Democrats' effort to overturn a 19th century state law that makes it a felony for doctors to perform abortions. She's one of the three Wisconsin doctors joining Attorney General Josh Call in challenging the law in court. She has appeared with top Democrats at events focused on restoring abortion access in Wisconsin, including moderating a roundtable with Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra. She joined Governor Tony Evers to announce a lawsuit against the state abortion law that went into effect last year after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. After the 19th century law took effect, Lierley decided to work in Minnesota with weekly commutes to hospitals in Hibbing and Montevideo. And I'll get to a little bit more of this. Also, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be looking for some callers during the next hour to talk about something a little bit lighter. Going to try to have some fun. Have you been to any good concerts recently? And are you looking forward to any concerts coming up this summer? Yeah, stick around for that. Got the news coming up. You're tuned in to The Earl Ingram Show.